you posed the following question about whether or not the White House is on the right track when it comes to its Afghan strategy now that General Stanley McChrystal has been replaced by General David Petraeus. Joining us now to offer midstream assessment now that we have changed horses is Charles Pena, who is Senior Research Fellow at the Independent Institute, and to give us a further update on what's happening in the Afghan theater itself. Thank you for being with us, sir. I appreciate your joining the program. What is your assessment of the president's decision to, as they say, change horses in midstream?
Well, I think, you know, there's obviously been a lot of focus on whether, you know, General Petraeus now succeeding General McChrystal is the right man for the job and whether we have the right strategy, military strategy in particular, in Afghanistan. But I think we've lost sight of the more important and much larger question, which is really why do we still need to be in Afghanistan militarily or otherwise going 9 years on from when we first went into that country in the aftermath of 9/11. In other words, you know, do we have real security interests that are at stake that require a continued military presence, or no matter how successful we might be tactically on the ground, whether our continued presence is actually counterproductive to national security. And that's been lost in this whole flap over McChrystal and the Rolling Stone.
Yeah, exactly. And there are a couple of questions in that regard, first of which with just tactics, and we'll get to the overall strategy in a moment. There have been people who have incorrectly suggested that that the failure in Vietnam, for instance, was not dealing with a counterinsurgency correctly, when in fact we didn't deal with it at all. And it's not quite the same set of strategy or strategic or tactical problems that we face in Afghanistan, correct?
Well, there are some parallels, but there are also, you know, many differences. There's an ugly truth about counterinsurgency, though, that we never really like to talk about, and that is if you look at the so-called successful counterinsurgency operations historically, they require a lot of troops, and they require some fairly harsh and indiscriminate tactics, because if you are literally trying to impose security inside a country where there's active opposition, you have to do some things that you might not otherwise like to do. I think the approach that General Petraeus has laid out is, in a perfect world, the right way to do it. You want to win over the population. You don't want it to be militarily heavy. You need a large civilian component. But unless you can deal with the insurgents and deal with them directly and sometimes very harshly, you don't get to the end of the rainbow. And we've never really talked about that, whether it was Vietnam or now, that there's an ugly component to counterinsurgency that we just don't want to recognize because it involves killing people and perhaps killing lots of people, and in all likelihood having to deal with the inevitable collateral damage of killing innocent civilians.
And then more broadly, the strategic issue, I've got a close personal friend who keeps complaining about the fact that no one reads military strategists like Clausewitz, who say that unless you have a political exit strategy, you should never engage in a military strategy at all. And it doesn't appear that we have a political exit strategy in place.
Well, I would argue that we don't have, not only do we not have that, we don't have a political reason, a strategic national security reason, right, to be in Afghanistan. And if you don't, then you're engaged in a whole lot of other things, and you may be successful. But ultimately, the other thing that we don't like to talk about is that military occupation, even if it's done for benevolent purposes, it is oppressive. And nobody likes to have a foreign military in their country. You know, one of the questions I always ask people is that, how would you feel if another country decided to put their military here in the United States and tell us what we should do and how we should run our country, for our own good, of course, because, you know, it really is for their own good? We wouldn't like that very much at all. In fact, we would probably actively oppose that. And yet we don't understand why other countries, when we do that, actively oppose us.
Well, and part of the issue there, too, is that while Al-Qaeda, you know, undertook its dastardly deeds on September 11th with the support of the Taliban, the Taliban is not effectively the central government of Afghanistan anymore, and we have no one with whom to negotiate, even if we did have a political solution to this problem.
If there is one good parallel to Vietnam, it's that we are, you know, once again backing a notoriously corrupt government that does not have widespread support amongst the population. And that doesn't mean that the people are supporting the insurgents, but it does mean that you know, it's really hard to gain their support because they, you know, their own government doesn't have their support. And the other issue that we're dealing with is that we talk about the Taliban as though the Taliban is this monolithic entity, and that it's the same Taliban that was running Afghanistan prior to 9/11 and giving aid and shelter to Al Qaeda. And really, the Taliban is not a monolith. It's a Pashtun element. There are a lot of people within the Taliban who have no love for Osama bin Laden or Al Qaeda, and yet we treat them as the threat, as though they are one in the same with Al Qaeda, and that we can't tolerate, you know, any aspect of the Taliban in Afghanistan. And yet we may have to. They may end up being part of a future government, and as long as they're not supporting Al Qaeda or giving aid or shelter to any terrorist group with global reach that would attack the United States, that's our security interest in Afghanistan, not whether it's a democracy, not whether Hamid Karzai is in charge or not, and not whether there continues to exist something called the Taliban.
Yeah. We're talking to Charles Pena, who is a senior research fellow at the Independent Institute, about the current state of affairs with respect to the war in Afghanistan. And I guess the question for a lot of people would be the following. If we wrapped things up and came home tomorrow, despite what we hear from politicians, the civilian command, what would happen in Afghanistan if we simply weren't there?
Well, I mean, it's probably not a good situation. I mean, and, you know, but again, that shouldn't be our criteria, whether it's a happily ever after type ending in Afghanistan. Afghanistan would probably revert to form, which is you have a weak central government, much stronger regional governors, aka warlords,
right,
all vying for power. There will likely be violence and killing in Afghanistan and a certain amount of instability. So the question is whether or not we can live with less than perfect, because none of those conditions in and of themselves represent a security threat to the United States. I'm not arguing those are good things and that's what I want for Afghanistan. I'd love for Afghanistan to be a much better country for its own population than it is now. But that's not our criteria for whether there's a real threat there that requires us to deal with it militarily.
And 9 years later, we still haven't gotten Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, and now 9 years later, it almost doesn't matter. I'd love to see him caught as much as everybody else, but we also need to come to the realization that the Al Qaeda that existed on 9/11 really doesn't exist anymore. Operationally, the group that was in Afghanistan, operating out of Afghanistan, is just a shadow of its former self.
They're operating in Pakistan anyway.
They're operating in Pakistan. They're not operating these huge training camps. They don't really have the wherewithal and the ability to plan and execute these heinous attacks like they did on 9/11. And we're now dealing with something that's more than just Al Qaeda. We're dealing with a radical ideology that is infusing the Muslim world, and whether Al-Qaeda exists or not.
All right, Charles, thanks very much. Charles Pena, a senior research fellow at the Independent Institute on Afghanistan. When we come back, the red-headed scare and the Red Scare, a sting operation that captured 11 alleged Russian spies. We'll talk about that with an expert on that when IQ Radio returns.